This is Indiana Public Radio News. Good morning, I'm Stan Sollers. Indiana lawmakers in this year's legislative session hashed out measures on a myriad of topics, including state colleges and universities, of course. Of recent interest is Senate Bill 199 that would require state officials to examine and possibly eliminate certain low-wage college degree programs. Does this affect Ball State? Is this the right kind of action for any state legislature to do? And aren't there factors such as a person raising a family that works part-time and goes to school part-time, for instance, that would affect the numbers? We'll find that out and more here today with our Ball State update. And joining us again is Ball State President Jeff Mearns. President Mearns, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, Stan.
Good to be with you as well. So what about Senate Bill 199? What is your read of that?
So if I can take it back a step and talk about, you know, the perspective of the elected officials, policymakers, both at the state level and federal level, from my understanding of the legislation and conversations with them, they view this issue as a form of kind of consumer protection. Now, I know that some of our faculty appropriately bristle at calling our students consumers, and I agree. In the context of classroom experiences, I don't like characterizing our students as consumers. As you've heard me say, I believe our students and our faculty are learning partners. They work together to pursue knowledge and greater understanding. But I also believe that when it comes to the business side of higher education, I think it is fair to at least consider our students in some respects as consumers, right? They pay us a lot of money for that education. They often borrow money to afford the education. And in other contexts, I believe, and many of us believe, that consumer protections are appropriate, you know, specifically when people are borrowing money like payday loans or car loans. And, you know, there are state and federal laws that protect consumers from predatory businesses. So, you know, with respect to higher education, in addition to protecting them, the state and federal government, they make substantial investments in higher education. At the federal level, there are Pell Grants and subsidized loans. At the state level, 21st century scholars and state operating appropriations. And if you look at the national level, there are some higher education institutions that are engaging in recruiting and pricing strategies that really, frankly, may not be in the best interests of the students, either financially or professionally. Now, many of those institutions that I'm talking about, they're for-profit institutions. But Stan, if we're going to be honest, you know, there are some public and private institutions that encourage and entice students to enroll in programs, often graduate programs, even though the institutions know that many graduates will not be able to see an increase in their salary that justifies the cost of an education. So when you ask, you know, is it appropriate for state officials or federal officials to be concerned, you know, we do have a student loan debt crisis that's burdening students, burdening taxpayers. Now, I say all of that, but I need to make clear, this is not Ball State University. You know, our students, a substantial portion of our students don't borrow any money at all. Those who do borrow, average, we have data that shows on average, it's less than $30,000. I saw recently an article that said the average car loan today is now $46,000.
When you said $30,000 at Ball State, was that the tuition cost for a year or for 4 years?
That was the average. So we have, as I said, we have a significant number of students, high percentage of students, who don't borrow any money at all. For those students who do borrow money as an undergraduate student to attend Ball State, the average amount that they borrow over the entire course of their undergraduate education is a bit less than $30,000 total, not per year, over the total educational experience. So this problem isn't endemic to us, but there are some institutions in the enterprise more broadly for whom this legislation, I think, is appropriate. So having said all that, the law that you described, the new state law, it tracks recent federal legislation, and it includes an earnings premium test. That's the phrase that they use. It's a benchmark that's tied to people without a college degree, and it's based upon the four-year average after graduation, the median salaries after 4 years of graduation. You know, it's the comparison between the benchmark of people without a college degree and the people with a college degree, averaged over a 2 or 3 year period. You know, you asked, will it affect Ball State? that legislation and the corresponding state legislation won't have any impact or minor impact on Ball State. You've heard me talk about our new Carnegie designation as an opportunity college or university. You know, one of the two factors in that is, can we show that 8 years after graduation, our graduates earn 50% or more than people in your state without a college degree? We were the only public institution in the state of Indiana to meet that benchmark and receive that designation. Entirely accurate information, but we have been tracking Senate Bill 199. I believe we only have one program that may not meet the standard. And if that holds true, we'll have time to fix it. But if it holds true, what that would mean is the students enrolled in that program would not be eligible for federal student loans. At the state level, that if it fell below that benchmark, it would trigger the same kind of review that the Commission for Higher Education is doing with low enrollment programs, which means even if it triggers the review, we would have the opportunity to argue our case, make our case with the commission to allow us to continue to enroll students in that program. So I know that's a long-winded answer to your question, but as I said, we have been tracking it, and I thought it would be helpful for the folks who are listening to understand the impact on higher education as an enterprise and the very minimal impact, if any, that it would have on Ball State University.
What degree programs have been mentioned in discussions from lawmakers? Liberal arts, music, dance, fine arts, those are usually so-called easy targets.
I think those are some of the programs that some of the policymakers, legislators have been speaking about. But the legislation applies to every program. And as I said, we believe that the one program we have, I believe it is in the performing arts. And that's the only one that I'm aware of that may trigger this review and this new law.
Has there been any progress since our last chat made at restoring funding cuts to the state's higher education institutions since tax revenues went far above forecasts from last year?
Yes, and the revenue is not only above last year's forecast. As you'll recall, in April of 25, almost exactly a year ago, there was a dismal revenue forecast, which led the General Assembly to reduce state operating appropriations for public higher education by 10%. Which was a $14 million reduction for us. But in December of 2025, just a few months ago, there was a much more favorable revenue forecast. And since then, the actual revenues in January and February are exceeding that more favorable forecast. So I remain hopeful that in the budget session next year, in January to April of 2027, that we'll be better positioned to have those appropriations that were reduced restored. And that will be what we'll be working on between now and then.
Any hint whether or not lawmakers would restore funding to public broadcasting on the state level?
I have not heard that topic discussed.
Will the state restrict tuition increases to help control accreditation or degree program elimination? Do you see that lever being engaged?
Well, so last year, as you may recall, in May of 2025, Governor Braun asked the commission to set a recommended tuition cap for all public higher education in Indiana with no tuition increase. The commission followed through on the governor's request, and we abided, as we have for more than 15 years, we abided with the commission's recommended tuition cap, in this case, a tuition freeze. I hope that we can share with the commission and share with Governor Braun that over the last 10 or 15 years, we at only Ball State and Purdue have stayed at or below every year the commission's recommended cap. And in fact, we have a chart that shows over that 15-year period, the cumulative amount of our tuition increases, the rate, is about half the increase of the CPI, the rate of inflation for more broadly across the entire market. So we are swimming against the narrative that's out there that college tuition rates are increasing faster than tuition. As I just said, ours are half the rate of inflation over the last 15 years. So we're hopeful that we can share that information so that we have some flexibility in increasing tuition modestly if we need to do that in the next biennium, not next academic year, but the subsequent two academic years. So that's a little bit down the road.
So if there's any help on the way, it would come in what calendar year and month?
It would, and so those decisions would be made next spring, which would affect academic year 27-28 and academic year 28-29.
In terms of Ball State's financial health, how is it doing overall? How are we doing?
We continue to produce a positive operating margin every year. Our long-term financial position has been rated by external credit rating agencies as extremely strong. So we continue to be good stewards of the resources that we receive from the state and the tuition revenue we receive. So we're in a strong position and look forward to continuing to demonstrate that discipline so that the long-term health of the institution stays very strong.
Around the water cooler, there has been some concern about layoffs or even buildings closed during the summer. Is there anything like that on the horizon?
So we are completing the budget reduction exercise that we embarked upon last fall, and I don't anticipate any building closures for the summer. I've not seen that as one of the strategies. We are evaluating whether we will need to eliminate a small number of filled and a small number of unfilled positions, but we've not yet made those decisions, but that will be forthcoming in the next 4 to 8 weeks.
Well, President Jeff Burns, thanks very much for coming back in with us here for the Ball State Update. Good to have you again.
Good to be with you, Stan, and I hope you and all your listeners enjoy a wonderful spring weekend.
We certainly can try that. For IPR News, I'm Stan Sollers.